Welcome to Ken Kale and Company. Tom Raffio sitting in for Ken Kale. I always thank Ken for allowing me this great opportunity to share with the community some of the great things that are going on. And of course, Ken has huge shoes to fill. So as is my style, I have several people helping me today. Steve Coppola will join me as a co-host later on this afternoon. And Steve is with Coppola Physical Associates. Judge Broderick will be joining me momentarily. And then I have the two gentlemen that you heard from last Friday who did a great race, putting on the Loon Mountain race last Sunday. And there's a race this Sunday in Cranmore, but they'll also give you a wrap-up on how last Sunday was. So they'll be coming in around 3 o'clock. And then Gene Brown, who's with Dartmouth Hitchcock, the Big Prouty bike. It's not a race, it's more of a journey, but some people are doing the century ride of 100 miles, some 50. I'm doing the 50, that's Saturday. And then last week we had Dr. Mills on talking about oral health and this new company that we acquired, Previsor. When I say we, meaning Northeast Delta Dental, and the CEO of Previsor, who works with me, is Carl Loeb. He'll be calling in at 4:05. So as you can see, it takes a village to replace Ken Kale. Our phone number is 866-823-1077. We have some terrific sponsors that I'll be referencing throughout the next 3 hours. So we have a great three-hour journey, and I want to start by introducing a terrific man, great leader, former Supreme Court Justice Judge John Broderick. He and I have gone to know each other over the years through many community endeavors. John, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Tom, delighted to be with you. Hopefully you can hear me all right.
Yeah, perfect.
Excellent.
We can hear you perfectly, and at about 25 past, you know, we'll take our commercial break. And just for the listening audience, because I anticipate that a lot of people will want to talk to Judge Broderick, our phone number is 866-823-1077, and John will be here right up to the next news break, which is, you know, close to 3 o'clock. So, Judge, you are a remarkable man, obviously, super career. When I moved to New Hampshire in 1995, from afar, you were one of my mentors. And, you know, like all of us, we all have challenges, you know, in our personal life, let alone our professional life. And one of the things, and as you know, I just did a PSA on this, but we really want to get the word out on the five signs of suffering. That is, nearly one out of every five people, where close to 43 million Americans, have diagnosable mental health conditions. So tell us about Change Direction, some of the great things that you've done. And just for the benefit of the listening audience, everything is connected. All the violence, you know, that we hear about, and we all, you know, a little pause, obviously, in what happened in, you know, in Dallas. But there's obviously been a lot of, you know, issues on college campuses. And on August 11th, we have a symposium on college campus safety. And of course, one of the things that, you know, John will mention is that the signs of mental illness really manifest themselves by age 14. So, you know, teachers, professors, obviously parents, coaches, camp counselors, we're all in this great position to identify this. So that symposium is at NHTI, and you can go on their website if you're a teacher and want to know more about that. But as we all know, a lot of the issues of violence on campus really also involve mental health issues. So John, I think you're going to have to take a step back. One of the things I've learned in radio, John, is that you and I assume that everybody is seven chapters into the book, but I think you're going to have to start with chapter one, John.
No, first of all, Tom, thank you very much for having me on, and thank you for your help with this campaign. If there's anyone, Tom Raffio, in New Hampshire that steps up time and time again, it's you. And you've done it again on this mental health awareness campaign. But let me explain, if I can, to your listeners what it's about and how it came about. It's really the genius of a child psychologist. Her name is Barbara Van Dalen. And Barbara lives in Maryland. And she was listed by Time Magazine in 2012 as one of the 100 most influential people on the planet, which is a list, Tom, that I've yet to make.
Well, no, I think, John, I think you were 101, so you just missed the cut.
Yeah. And I'm always 101 in my dreams, Tom. But in any event, she started a program for veterans and family members of veterans. And this was her idea. She wanted people like herself, psychiatrists, psychologists from around the country, to step up and volunteer time to counsel veterans and their family members who might have mental health issues. And that program has been going on now for more than a decade. The First Lady of the United States learned of it, although did not help form it, and is so impressed by it that she does a talking billboard ad for a given hour in Times Square. And so when I was asked by Bill Gunn, who's the head of behavioral health at Concord Hospital,
and by the way, big shout out to Dr. Gunn. He's done a great job on this initiative as well. So,
he and Pete Evers are really fantastic, extraordinary. And so the three of us co-chair this effort. And so he asked me to call Barbara, and I did. And I said to her, Barbara, what are you trying to do? She said, John, a given hour is very important, and it continues. But the new campaign is even broader and will affect more people. And she said, here's what I'm trying to do. She said, I want people to know the five most common signs of mental illness, emotional suffering, as well as I know the signs for a heart attack and a stroke. And she said, you and I, John, didn't go to medical school, but we know the signs of a heart attack and a stroke. How do we know that? And I thought, well, she's right. I do know those signs. And most of your listeners know those signs. And they didn't go to medical school either. And she said to me, by knowing the signs of a heart attack and stroke, a lot of lives have been saved. And when I tell you, John, that half of all mental illness arises by age 14, something I did not know, and that the mentally ill are usually the last to know that they have a mental illness, it's important that others know what to look for. Indeed, it's important for those with mental illness to know what to look for. Two-thirds of all mental illness, Tom, in the United States, arises by age 23. And last year in this country, a well-kept secret, last year in this country, more people died by suicide than died on America's highway. And the last statistic that's hiding out there that I didn't know, but I should have known it, all of us should have known it, is that the leading cause of disability in the United States and Canada is mental illness. And so I said to her, Barbara, how can I help you? Because in my own family, Tom, I have two sons. My oldest son is a really good person, a decent person. I love him. He was afflicted with mental illness, depression, anxiety, panic attacks at age 13. He didn't know it. He thought it was just him. And my wife and I and his brother never saw it. It's hard for me to believe that now, but it's true. I wasn't even looking for it. And back then, if you had said to me, do you think your son has a mental health problem? I probably would have been offended by the question. Now I realize how silly I would have been. Why couldn't my son have a mental health problem? Why couldn't I? Why couldn't any of us?
And John, when you were talking about, that's such a great point, because you would use this analogy, you know, many years ago, when our grandparents or parents were talking about cancer, it was all on the hush-hush. Now, of course, we celebrate people's recovery. We have these huge walks for breast cancer. We see a sea of pink, or prostate walks with a sea of people walking for that. And just getting comfortable with talking about cancer has taken decades, and now we're trying to do that same thing when it comes to above the neck health, which is mental health.
We absolutely are, Tom, and you're absolutely correct. In my lifetime, mental illness still remains in the shadows. It doesn't belong there, but that's where it's taken up residence, and no one talks about it. We're a little better than we were 30 or 40 years ago, but we're not much better. And as I said, when we launched this campaign at the State House at the end of May, and by the way, there were over 400 people who came and filled up the House chamber, As I said that day, when I was a child, people whispered the word cancer. I remember my mother whispering the word cancer about my best friend's mother, just the two of us in our kitchen, and she whispered it to me. And the only male and the only adult that I recall in 1957 saying the word breast in public was Hugh Hefner at Playboy magazine. And some decades later, some really bright, courageous, smart person or people put breast and cancer together. They got the color pink and a megaphone, and they have dramatically changed the outcome for women with breast cancer. When age became a scary topic in the 1980s, and nobody quite knew what it meant or what it was, and then Magic Johnson of the L.A. Lakers said, I have HIV. And suddenly people said, we love Magic Johnson. We better find a cure for that. We've not had one of those moments, Tom, in mental health. And yet it continues to affect millions of Americans every year. And those folks, I have been taught, as I was, to try to hide it, to be told they should be ashamed of it, that it might be a personal weakness or a character deficiency. And all of your listeners today, Tom, I would venture to say, know someone in their circle of friends and their circle of coworkers in their immediate family or extended family who has a mental health problem. And I also venture to say nobody talks about it, because if they did that, they would feel ashamed. That's what this campaign is trying to take away. We're trying to inform people. It's not about politics or partisanship. It's about information. Here are the five most common signs of mental illness and emotional suffering. It's important we know them. And at the same time, the more we do that, Tom, and the more discussions that follow, the more emboldened people will feel, I suspect, to come forward and say, that's true in my family, or that's true with my mother or my uncle or my dear friend, or it's true with me. And once we start talking about it, I think some of the stigma will fall away. And the goal is, in time, that people will come out of the shadows and we can start to treat it as an illness and not a character deficiency. Won't be easy, but now's the time.
So it's like a progression, the education of these five signs, which we'll get to after commercial break. It's the overall education, how serious of a problem this is. And then it's getting comfortable, you know, with talking about it. I had Renee Plummer on, who, as you know, is big into Veterans Count. And I know one of the issues we have with veterans reaching out is they're basically, if you've been in the service, you've been trained to help other people. So to be comfortable saying, I need some help, takes a big leap that also that people aren't going to look askance at you because you're reaching out to help. But you mentioned the suicide rate. There's some huge number of that relates to people that have served our country, which makes it even that much sad. So in the same way, we've seen this progression with pink, with breast cancer and the prostate cancer, and people being comfortable talking about that. I'm sure like Hugh Hefner is smiling somewhere. Whatever. Who would have thought? But whatever. And the same way.
Last year, and it's true this year, 22 veterans. Pretty extraordinary people. 22 veterans a day commit suicide.
Yeah, that's an extraordinary number. And we heard that statistics a couple of Saturdays ago in Portsmouth. There was an event for the Heroes and Veterans Count, and that statistic really staggered.
Well, I tell you, there was a recent national report that came out in the last week. And this is what it said. This should concern every single American. 10% of our children, 18 or younger, have had serious thoughts of suicide. 10%. There was a recent survey from Franklin, New Hampshire, and I don't have it in front of me, but my memory is that 19% of the public schools students surveyed in Franklin had thoughts of suicide.
And I think that's why it was so important that you took your time. It was awesome when you spoke to the State Board of Education and the Department of Education team, because obviously, you know, teachers are in the best position to see those signs. And it was really outstanding. You had everybody, you could hear a pin drop when you were making that presentation. And I know that the under Commissioner Barry's leadership, you know, that word is going to get out there, and all the place cards demonstrating the five signs of mental illness, those are going out to all the schools. And then you also mentioned from the employer perspective, which is there's a big difference between when someone's having a bad day versus, you know, that there's a, you know, a chronic issue. And I know that we're trying to do a lot at Northeast Delta Dental to make sure that we all understand that. And it's more than obviously just offering, you know, opportunities to go to counseling, but it's really just being able to talk about it. And it's very relevant to us, because one of my goals before I go to my reward is also to make people understand that you can't have good overall health without above the neck health, and that includes oral health, mental health, hearing. And people for years have disconnected the head from the body, but you can't, which is what...
So true, Tom. I tell you something. I know if you have to go to break, but I have a story. It'll take me 2 minutes.
Sure, perfect.
Do you have time for it?
Yes, that's actually perfect timing.
One of the people I met in my travels on this campaign to change direction was a professional woman, and I spoke to a group of professional people. And she welcomed me privately, and I spoke to her for 5 minutes. I spoke to the group for 25 minutes. A number of them came to our lunch on May 23rd. A few days after I spoke to that group, she called me. I didn't recall the name. And I called her back the next day, and she said, my husband's been hospitalized with depression, anxiety. And then she started to cry. Now, she had met me time for 5 minutes. Okay? 5 minutes. And she said, I was going to ask you to come over and talk to my husband, who's in the hospital, but... I thought he'd be too embarrassed. And I said, well, you know, I would have come. She said, I know you would have. That's why I called you. So after we launched it, I was on the radio one morning with Barbara Van Dalen, whose genius started this. And I called the woman. And I said, how's your husband doing? She said, well, he's home. He's not great. I said, you might want to listen to the radio broadcast. We'll be on tonight. I didn't know whether they were going to. And she called me a week later and said, we listened to it. He felt much better, and he wonders if you will come over and meet with both of them. So I did, and I met with him for 2 hours. And I said to him, I said, you're a pretty remarkable guy. You had a good job. So why do you say that? I said, because you've achieved a lot. If you climb Mount Everest in the daylight with a moderate temperature, it's pretty amazing. You climb it at night in an ice storm, that's what you've been doing your whole life. Why don't you get help? And he was so ashamed. But he was telling me, Tom, and his wife was, not because I had any special expertise, but because I had walked through the valley of mental illness. They knew that. I had experienced what they were experiencing in my own family. And I knew that hope and help were possible. And they felt relieved to be telling me. The irony is that they had friends and colleagues and family. Who did they pick to meet with? They picked me. Not because I'm special, but because I knew I would understand.
You were safe.
We need to change that.
Exactly, and that's what that's why when you asked me to get involved, that was like an easy yes. And we've got employers involved now, and you're just amazing. So let's go to commercial break, and then right after commercial break, we'll have the judge back on and maybe get specifically into the five signs. And again, we have the judge all the way through 3 o'clock. So our number is 1-866-823-1077. And again, WTPLFM.com is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. Mealtime is milk time. So please stay tuned with us with Judge Broderick. Thank you. Welcome back to Ken, Kale & Company. Tom Raffio with Judge Broderick. We have this great topic on change direction, and we'll be getting from Jack from Concord momentarily. I just want to
inform the audience that the temperature is 75 degrees in Concord, 68 degrees in Laconia. There's usually not that big divergence, but there's a 7-degree difference there. And in Manchester, it's 72. This weather is brought to you by R&T Electric. Since 1972, your home for all your electric and generator needs. Another great sponsor is Cousineau's, just 15 minutes from downtown Concord on Old Concord Road in Henniker, which I understand is the only Henniker in the world. It's Cousineau's. Cousineau's sells bark mulch for residential and commercial customers with a wide variety of mulch and playground surfacing at the lowest prices in the area. Delivery is available. Mention this and this ad and get 10% off your first purchase. Please call 1-800-258-4718 or visit Cousineau's.com. Judge Broderick, you have to admit I'm pretty good at this radio stuff. So if dental insurance,
you're very good, Thomas. You have another career you're good at.
It's been really great because I've been able to really use it as a forum to get the word out. I also want to, and one of the reasons why I'm able to do that, I have a great board of directors. As you know, we're all governed by processes, and I have a great board of directors at Northeast Delta Dental, and my chairman is Mike Degnan, and he wanted to say to you, Judge, thank you. You were so helpful at the Ned Helms retirement event. So that was one of the many things you do. So a big shout out and thank you from Mike, Judge.
Well, thanks, Tom. The other thing too, I want your listeners to know, she'll never say it about yourself. When I came to see you with Bill Gunn to see if you would help us with this effort, and of course we needed some sponsors, and we've been raising some money for it. And we sat with you, and we talked to you for about a minute. And you said, how can I help you? What do you need? And I remember remarking to Bill Gunn when I left, I said, that was the easiest visit I've ever paid anyone. And the reason it was is you just intuitively understood it. And you also, I think, have a genuine commitment to the community and to the state of New Hampshire. And I really think people know that, but if they don't, I wanted to make sure they know it now.
Well, thank you, Judge.
You've been amazing, Tom, on this, and I really, really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, and I want to thank my board of directors for allowing me to get out there, and I think that's the great thing. I quickly learned when I moved to New Hampshire in 1995 that New Hampshire was a great state for my skill set, which is, doing something about issues and with connecting with great people, you know, like yourself and Dr. Silvio DiPuglio is able to do that. So thank you. So before we get into the five signs that may mean someone is in emotional pain, we have Jack from Concord that wants to speak with Judge Broderick. Jack, you're on.
Thank you very much. I happen to hear you. I was coming down the road and a friend of mine let me use their phone here in Concord. And I happened to listen to the gentleman talk about the kids in the Franklin school system, how there's a 10% mental problem there or deficiency. And I'd like to bring something to your attention, and I hope you don't cut me off the air, but if you do, so be it. In the Winnesquam Regional High School, you have some teachers there that will not help the students to figure out their problems and stuff. They hand them the problem and say, take care of it yourself. And they have a principal that doesn't seem to care. Some of these students have gone from being high honor students in their freshman year and sophomore year to being out of the ratio now. And some of them are quite depressed. And we've tried to get newspapers to handle it, but they say you got to have 6 or 7 different parents come in and complain about it, then we'll do an article on it. But the parents are afraid to because of the retaliation. And these kids' lives are being ruined because 2 or 3 teachers in this school system up in Winnesquam are bullying them.
Well, Jack, and I'm actually familiar with Winnesquam High School because one of the other things I do, Judge, Northeast Delta Dental is actually a partner school with Winnesquam, so I speak every year at the seniors' night, and we give out the statewide scholars medallions for those. It's about 40% of the senior class did the accelerated AP courses, and they became New Hampshire scholars. So I guess I would like to end on the positive that I know no one's perfect. I'm not perfect. I think Winnesquam is trying. I think the whole point of
change direction and is to get the word out and for teachers to be sensitized to this. And that's why, and that's why, you know, at the Department of Education, the judge was able to present to us and we're getting the word out. So rather than get into the specifics, no school is perfect, but I can tell you there are some great teachers who I've met at Winnesquam because I've been going to senior night every, you know, for the last decade. But we know we have more to do. So thank you, Jack, for calling it to our attention.
Hey, Jack?
Yes.
Before you go, first of all, thank you for calling.
My pleasure.
I don't know what the situation is at Winnesquam, and so I can't comment. But I will say that I met with the teachers group, NEA. I met with the superintendents group, and both of them, the leadership, are genuinely interested in moving this Five Science campaign through the schools in the state. By the way, the faith community, the Catholic bishop, the Episcopal bishop, the rabbi, the individual heads of the Hampshire Council of Churches, the faith community is very interested. I think, Jack, what we need, we need to change the discussion. We need to change the culture around mental health challenges. And if we do that, every boat will be lifted. And so I guess what I would say to you and to the people you know is to engage in this campaign. Help us get the word out. It's a great opportunity. It's non-political, non-partisan, doesn't cost you anything to get involved. But I would encourage you to get involved.
I will give it a shot.
And help us move the needle.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Jack, for calling in, and I really appreciate, you know, stopping in Concord on your way south to make the phone call. So thank you, Jack, for calling that to our attention. And again, as the judge said, you know, with the NAA, with Scott McGilvery, and at the Department of Education, we're definitely trying to get the word out. So thank you.
Well, I want to say something else, Tom. I don't know if everyone who's listening knows your position at the department. You're chair of the state board. And when I reached out to you to see if I could come and present, again, it was not something I had to sell to you. You intuitively understood it. You allowed me to come over there. I was very impressed by the board, and I'm impressed by the commissioner. And having the support of the State Board of Education is really important because, as I said earlier, you know, the bullseye for mental health problems in America is age 12 to 23. That's the bullseye. Doesn't mean you don't have mental health issues or they couldn't come on later in life, but most of them come on between 12 and 23. And during those years, many and most people are in school, either in junior high school, college. So you folks at the State Board of Education are overseeing thousands and thousands of kids, some of whom have undiagnosed mental health problems, or they have members of their own family who do. So it's hugely important. It's important for coaches and parents and Boy Scout leaders and Girl Scout leaders to know the signs. It's important for siblings to know it, extended family to know it. And if we pay attention, and I don't want to make it into the Salem witch trials, you know, so everyone has a mental health problem, but I don't think that will happen, and it will sensitize us and encourage us to seek help. And so part of our campaign, Tom, is not just to say to folks, here are the five signs, but to help over time educate them on the infrastructure that exists now in New Hampshire for mental health issues. And if in time more people identify or self-identify or feel more comfortable, maybe we'll find, I don't know, maybe we'll find the infrastructure we have is perfect. Maybe we'll find it's not sufficient. And then it becomes a more political issue, a public discussion issue. But right now, we're not into that. We're just an information campaign. And I think it's really important that it starts there. But children, and the last group, Tom, that I would mention are pediatricians, because obviously they see a lot of people in that age group. And it's important that pediatricians start to develop a uniform protocol and evaluation technique to assess for mental health. But mostly, Tom, if people, parents, took home one of these cards that you referred to, that has the five signs on it, and put it on the refrigerator and talk about it with their kids, Suddenly, that's a discussion that will never have happened in America before. And parents will feel more knowledgeable, more comfortable. Their children will learn about it and be willing to talk about it. That's how progress will start.
Information is always powerful, and then once we get the word out, then action. So we might not get to all five before the next commercial break, but I know you can stay on. Let's talk about some of these five signs that reflects that someone may be in emotional pain. So, for example, uncharacteristically angry or anxious. Tell us about the five signs, as you know.
Let me tell you the five signs. And so your listeners know, these are not diagnostic of a specific mental health issue. They are kind of across the spectrum of what you might see in mental health problems. These five signs were developed by Barbara Van Dalen. But, for example, when Dartmouth Hitchcock agreed to be one of our sponsors, as had the Concord Hospital and Elliott Hospital and Catholic Medical Center, it's extraordinary what people have done, and Delta Dental was the sponsor. But when I saw the rack card, so-called, I asked Dartmouth Hitchcock, Department of Psychiatry, to take a look at them, to validate for me that these really are valid and helpful, and they did that. So these signs are across the spectrum and important. And so let me tell you, listeners, Tom, what they are. And in no particular order, if you, the listener here, are just not feeling like yourself, I don't mean for a day or 2 days, but I mean for an extended period of time, just not feeling like you, that ought to be concerning. It doesn't mean that you have a mental health problem, but you might. If you're feeling agitated, anxious, not for a day, but for an extended period of time or chronically over a long time, that's a sign. If you are withdrawing from everyday life, you're spending more time alone, more time in your room, that could be a sign. That could be a sign of some mental health condition. If you are not caring for yourself, your personal hygiene tends to change in a noticeable way and for a period of time. I mean, for a weekend. That could be a sign. Or if you are feeling hopeless, and I've never experienced that, but I know people who have, and it's a devastating feeling. It feels like there is no exit. There's no way forward. It's just hopelessness. That's different than being sad for a while. Everyone's sad. But not everyone's feeling hopeless. And I don't mean for an afternoon. I mean over an extended period of time or chronically feeling hopeless. Those five signs, either all five or in some combination, do not mean that you have a mental health problem, but they might well indicate you do. And so it's important for parents and teachers and coaches and extracurricular folks to be attentive to that, to know it, so that when they're dealing with young people, they might start to be more discerning. And over time, they might feel comfortable talking either to that person or to that person's parent, not to criticize or to castigate or stigmatize. There's enough stigma to go around. But we hope people will start to realize that mental illness is no different than a sore throat. I mean, it's a health issue, and we treat it, and we talk about it.
And be comfortable talking about it. So let me review those five signs, and then John will stay on the line. And if you want to speak to him after commercial break, the number is 866-823-1077. So if you notice someone suddenly or gradually changing the way they typically behave, that's the personality change. If someone is uncharacteristically angry, anxious, or agitated, withdrawal or isolation from other people, neglecting self-care or engaging in risky behavior, and this overwhelming feeling of hopelessness. So that's kind of summarizing. So Judge, if someone wants that rack card, which has the summary of what I just said, how would they get their hands on that?
They should go online. We have a Facebook page, and we have a web page. So it's changedirection.org/NH. if you do changedirection.org, you'll get the national webpage. But if you do .org/NH, you'll get the New Hampshire page. And one thing I think people should be happy about, or certainly proud of, they have selected, Barbara Van Dalen, selected New Hampshire as the first state in the country to roll out this program. And she did that, I think, because we're small. But as she said to me when we spoke, she said, New Hampshire has an outsized place in America. You're the first in the nation state. And I thought you should be the first in the nation state in mental health awareness.
Right. And we can be a role model for some of the other states, too. You're right.
We will be. I'll tell you who's recently joined this campaign, by the way. It's pretty impressive. Prince Harry from Great Britain has joined this campaign. He's done a PSA. You, Tom Raffio, have done a PSA for us. Senator Ayotte recently did a picture holding up her five fingers with a little yellow sticky that said, I know the five signs. The governor did it. Senator Shaheen did it. Representative Custer, Representative Pinto, which should assure people this is not about politics. It's almost impossible these days to find an issue that Senator Ayotte and Governor Hassan agree on. And I say that because they both agree on this and the value of this campaign, because both of them know they're both very decent and good people, and they both know this will save and change lives.
Exactly.
Knowledge is our friend.
Exactly. It transcends politics for sure, and this is the only probably topic that I'll be in the same breath with Prince Harry. So we'll return after commercial break with more of Judge Broderick. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Ken, Kale, and Company. Tom Raffio sitting in for Ken, and with me is Judge John Broderick to talk about change direction, five signs of potential mental health issues, and John will get into some of those signs momentarily. I do want to mention one of our other great sponsors, and that's Maury Farm Greenhouse. Check out the amazing selection of mixed plants and hanging baskets at Maury Farm Greenhouse, 115 River Road in Penacook. It's open 9 to 5 daily, and the number is 753-6781. For 52 years, Maury Farm Greenhouse has been providing the best selection of annuals and perennials to be found in the area. Five generations of pride and old-fashioned integrity at Maury Farm Greenhouse. Again, that's 115 River Road in Penacook, 753-6781. So I'm back to Judge Broderick, great American. So, Judge, you've mentioned some partners. You mentioned Peter Evers at Riverbed. I was actually on one of the people that sort of got him involved in the community. And I'm a big baseball fan, so I always wanted to know if he was at all related to that famous double play combination, Evers to Tinkers to Chance from Chicago. He was impressed that I knew that, and I was equally impressed because he appears to be English, that he knew what the heck I was talking about. And you've also mentioned...
He's been terrific. Peter Evers is a difference maker. He really is, and he jumped on this campaign. And Bill Gunnacock at the hospital, those are the pros, and they know this from a different perspective than I do. But collectively, we all believe in it. And I'll tell you something, Tom, that I think it's important that your listeners also understand. Right now, in New Hampshire, which is true across America, the largest providers of mental health services in this country are jails and prisons. Now, at the cost of an inmate stay for a year, which is probably anywhere from $25,000 to $40,000 a year, it's not a very efficient way to deliver those services. And Commissioner Wren, who I think so highly of, in New Hampshire, our corrections commissioner, he would tell you they probably don't have the money. They don't have the staff. They don't have the budget. And most of the people in the state prison are there for under 3 years, so they recirculate. We need to find mental health problems sooner, not because they should frighten us, but because there's actual help available. Peter Evers and Bill Gunn would tell you that if you find mental health problems early, the odds of effective treatment are very high. And Peter said recently, and Bill Gunn confirmed it, that there are many more effective treatments for mental health these days than there are for a lot of physical health problems. You can do more for mental illness than you can do for diabetes. And so I think people are often associating mental illness either with violence, which is unfair, because only a small fraction of people with mental health act out in a violent way, or that there's really no hope, so what's the point of finding it? And that's not true at all. So I think it's important that people start to change their mindset about what it is, what it looks like, and what you can do for it. And we can do that, Tom, if people change the culture around it so they won't feel ashamed. You know, that's really what we need to do. And if we can do that, more and more people who are undiagnosed will be diagnosed. Other people who are diagnosed will be effectively treated.
And just being comfortable talking about it, and the same way we, again, I've mentioned this a couple of times, we see the sea of pink or sea of green with the arthritis walks. We need this sea of the, what would you call it, our color of change direction, kind of like goldish, brownish color? Or?
Well, the color they use on these emoticon faces, you know, each of them represents one of the five signs, kind of an off-orange color. And so when we had the launch, we had these bracelets. You know, everyone sees them, different colors. These are orange.
Great.
And so, I think it's really important that there's a color. I can't look at the color pink without thinking of breast cancer.
Exactly. So we want the same thing with this orange color. So Judge Broderick, thank you for being a great American. ChangeDirection.org. I encourage everybody to get that place card. Get the word out. Judge, I'll see you on the campus, and we'll continue to spread the word. Thank you so much. You're a great American.
Thanks for all your help, Tom. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.